This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. Thank you for joining us and committing to never missing any Mile High tick. You want to make sure that's the case for you so you can change spines, lives, and minds. Make sure you hit subscribe. And of course, rise up in August to Mile High 2020. If there's ever time to get refocused on your philosophy and your values and your mission, now is the time, August 20th to 23rd, 2020. And you can find out all the details at www.milehigh2020.com. That's where all the event details are. I am grateful, so grateful for this incredible chiropractor who I have such admire for what she brings to the world as being a speaker this coming Mile High and being on this podcast now. She's been a guest on the podcast before last year. Shawn Powers, Dr. Shawn Powers, is an award-winning chiropractor, coach, international speaker. She's a prior chiropractor in Colorado. She practiced in Colorado for years, teaches chiropractors powerful strategies to be incredibly wildly successful. She's a former critical care nurse and a serial entrepreneur and passionate chiropractor. She's made history chairing first chiropractic conference to exclusively feature all women chiropractors, and she's really dedicated to our profession and our philosophy and our values. I reached out to her to hop on to do a podcast now as we are currently going living through this global crisis, and you know, be able to help uplift you with your values in chiropractic. Thank you for joining us at this time, Dr. Shawn.
Well, thanks for having me, Dr. Danny. It's always good to get together.
Well, we really appreciate you and all you've done for chiropractic over the years. And I'm just going to leave this a completely open question. With the current circumstance we're all living through now for weeks and months, it's going, you know, shifting the globe for forever. Where do you see us being important to focus on service at this point?
Where do I see us being able to focus on service right here today?
Yeah.
You know, I think the number one thing everybody has to get really clear about is that it is always the best time to be service oriented. It doesn't matter if you're in a crisis, a pandemic, an economic downturn, who you are and how you show up. If you're mastering all of the fundamentals, that should be the same today as it was before this pandemic. I mean, you and I know, and you've been around long enough, I started in practice in 1982 on Colorado Boulevard during one of the worst economic depressions ever. I didn't pay attention to that. I didn't know it. I had a mission, a vision, and a desire to help people, and so my practice grew. So I think the best thing for everybody to think about is today, right here, right now, is all you have. You can't control the past. You can't control the future. But you can control who you are, how you show up, and what you do or don't do today.
Yeah, and I agree completely. And I've practiced through a couple of economic downturns and a couple challenges. Realize that's part of life as a small business owner, period, right? And so I practiced through 9/11. I practiced through the 2008 downturn. This one has its own unique properties to navigate. However, what you just said is one of the central things, right? It's how you show up. And so people are going to need us more than ever. How, Dr. Shawn, does your philosophy, your chiropractic philosophy, help you navigate this?
Well, it makes me feel incredibly protected. It makes me feel incredibly centered and balanced, and it's part of my DNA. I didn't graduate from chiropractic school owning philosophy. It was a journey for me. It was a course of study. It was learning through practice and seeing what I saw. So I would say I feel so much more certain and secure owning the chiropractic philosophy. And my clients, you know, because I tend to work with philosophical vitalistic clients, they're like, they don't even bat an eye, right? It's the one thing we might have to compromise is how we navigate through the world and, you know, adapting things that might not be congruent for us. But at this point in time, it is absolutely necessary so that we can continue to be part of the world. Because, you know for sure, right, Dr. Danny, that most of us in chiropractic, we live in an above down inside out world. If we don't, we're not of the world per se, right? But this time, I believe our philosophy is something that can give somebody something to hold on to anchor to. And it also is something that you can strengthen and upgrade who you are right now because of it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing that I have so much gratitude for is our philosophy, that I live my life through that and I see the world through those goggles, right? I have a certain lens view of the world, and that brings me a lot of certainty, safety, ease, peace, like as Fred Barge said, life without fear, right? So, however, I feel badly for all the practice members and non-practice members that may not have that to the strength that we do, right? And I think it's more of a time ever to help impart that in many ways. Even if you can't do it with an adjustment, you can do that with helping people shift their consciousness.
And I think that's absolutely true, whether like in your case, it's illegal for you to be in practice right now, or there's other constraints. Some of my clients in Europe and in other countries, they're not allowed to practice right now. But part of practice always is education. It's also always providing information and inspiration and helping our practice members discern, right? That's a real big piece of it. So I believe that that is one of our biggest missions, is not just to find and correct subluxations, but to help people look at how they look at things, the goggles, like you said, the lens at what they look through. And we know that practice members who embrace the vitalistic lifestyle, the chiropractic lifestyle, they are, you know, asking, you know, to get in, to be seen, to be taken care of. Those who aren't, I think this time is going to be an awakening for many people who feel vulnerable, who have health issues, who maybe never paid attention to their health before. This is going to be an awakening time where we can be that voice of reason and that pillar, that beam of light that people will gravitate to because of our philosophy, our science, and our art. So I think rather than feeling sorry for people, how I look at it is there's an answer and there's a way that they might not have considered before or they might not have known of before. And I think so many chiropractors, besides being at the table and doing all that we have and being busy in practice, you now have the time and or the opportunity or the necessity to put out more content, to go on live, to write, to make Facebook groups for your practice members so that you can deliver that ability to give them information, inspiration, the ability to discern. And they might not take on the lifestyle or the philosophy yet or all the way, but it is a journey. And that's what we're there for, to hold their hand through their journey.
Right, right. We can still facilitate healing. We facilitate healing in so many ways other than the actual adjustment. I remember learning in chiropractic school from David Koch, who taught, I'd learned philosophy from at Sherman College, how much the education of our philosophy to practice members is vital. If without missing that piece of an innate intelligence and a universal intelligence, for the most part, they'll see it as some kind of physical therapy. If we don't help them get that concept, right, and understanding that there's how much more it has to do with the organization of their body and that their body's so incredibly smart, right? So, and that creates a place of safety and a foundation for them. So when you help people understand philosophy, from a patient interaction, practice member interaction, what's a good starting point that would help people here to help them communicate with their practice members? Good starting point in understanding.
Well, I think
innate wisdom.
You know, I think just having that open discussion, finding out first of all what they believe, mm-hmm. and how they came to own those beliefs. So I always been feel that questions are the most powerful way to lead somebody down a path to an awakening, an understanding, to embracing knowledge and wisdom. So the first thing is just to be, you know who you are, you know what you believe, but don't be attached to what they believe or don't believe. Just be attached to having an open conversation, because if you're dogmatic or defensive, or, you know, you want to throw it down or shove it down their throats, then they will feel that and they will step back. And I'll just give you an example. One of my coaches was Ziegfeld, and there was a woman who would come into practice. She was a nurse, and I would attract a lot of nurses because I was a critical care nurse. Right. And she would bring her children. And I would say, you know, all the reasons why she understood why her children should be checked. And she would say no. And this had gone on. She was probably about 2 weeks into the practice. And I was getting angry. I was like, I was. I'm like, how can you understand that and not get your children checked?
Right.
Well, that was a younger version of me and not as accepting. So I had my call with Sukupus and I said, I think I should kick this woman out of the practice. And he said this. He said, if you kick her out of the practice, how will she ever learn the truth? So you and I know, Dr. Danny, that people learn from people they know, like, and trust.
Right.
I'm not kidding. It was the day that I said, okay, so I should just accept her and let her kids sit in that chair. And he said, yes. I let go, I surrendered, and I accepted. One day later, she said, it's now time for you to check the children. So where we start is we know who we are. We know what we believe. We take and accept them for who they are, what their story is, what their history, what their knowledge is. And then I think we are just people who ask the right questions that make them question what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's very powerful. Like, if I believe that it's the virus that can hurt me, then is that really logical? Or is it the potential that maybe the virus can hurt me because I'm not as healthy as I could be? Right? So helping them think about how they're thinking, you know, we're analytical thinkers, we're, you know, critical thinkers, we're holistic thinkers. And that ability to think in a variety of ways and break things down is something I believe we can share with our practice members.
Yes.
So we don't tell them what to do. They decide what to do based on coming to that understanding on their own through our conversations.
And isn't that what teaching is about? Right? And being a doctor is being a teacher. We have to teach people our values. And this is an incredible opportunity for us as a profession to teach the world something different in terms of how they think of health.
And now, how to think of what we are, right?
And what we are, right? And what role we play, right? So it's an incredible opportunity to shift that or help it grow in terms of an understanding. So it's a time for us to rise up in that. And that's something that we can help people do. Now, with your health nursing background and chiropractic background, what are some ways to help practice members? I'm going to say this a different way. How are some ways for doctors to help navigate this current circumstance?
It's a great question. First of all, you have to realize the way you practice before this all started, you are going to have to adapt and implement things that you would not have previously. So my advice is always you must be compliant with whatever your state laws, your province, your country, because you don't want to lose the ability to do what you do because of noncompliance. Now, so like one of my clients in Michigan, they're not required. It's suggested to wear a mask. It's not required. So the conversation is to your practice members, first of all, letting them know, you know, just like every restaurant in the world and every other person has sent us a billion emails about what they're doing to make the place safe. So just again, back to that conversation and that agreement with the practice member. Would you prefer us to have masks? Do you prefer to have gloves? Or we're required to have gloves and we're required to have masks. And like for me, I took care of lots of kids in the past and autistic kids, you know, so like how do we make a mask fun? Or, you know, like how do we make it part of our personality? So first, I think you need to be compliant. Second, you need to have an honest conversation with your practice members. Third, you need to ask them what makes them feel comfortable. But before I would put, go back to number one, is that your office is safe. And what you do deliver is safe. And so you don't want to, you want to be sure that they're really clear that you are safe and you've taken, you know, care of everything that you need to do from a cleanliness standpoint. And then what makes them comfortable so that you can, even if it's sort of weird for us to do certain things, we wouldn't do that before. We're going to do it for them because they are then going to be able to trust us and utilize our services more. Absolutely. So adapt your systems, right? That's, it's, you know, systems are the glue that hold the practice together. Now you've got to create some new systems so that you can continue to serve. You know, I've got clients who see high volume. Everything was turned upside down because you can't use your hot seats. You can't have so many people in. You know, everything is different. So the smartest thing you can do is be willing to adapt and enjoy the process.
Yeah. And here's something that's important about that, which is people have to feel safe seeing you. Otherwise, they're not going to see you. And their bar for safe is going to be different than your bar, most likely, okay? And their bar for safe in different areas of the world, in even different cities. Colorado's experience is different than Florida, than Wyoming, right? And it has to do with the consciousness of that area and also the consciousness of your current patient base. So you want to, if you want, if your own goal is that lifetime wellness practice member family that has care, you want to make sure you meet them where they're at in terms of what's going to help them be safe and connect with you so they continue to get the life-saving benefits of chiropractic care.
You know, and Dr. Danny, that's true today as it is any time because we are taking them, you know, part of our job is to influence people.
Right.
Bring them from a position that they hold to a better, healthier perspective and understanding, right? So again, it's a path and a journey that they walk. So that safety, that understanding, that acceptance, you don't know every little ounce of their history. Like look at you and what you went through this past year and a half. That has shifted you and changed you, and you will look at things in a different light for the rest of your life because of that experience.
Yeah. Yep.
And we don't know what their story is.
Yep.
So you're so right. Make them feel comfortable. Make
yes.
them feel safe.
Yeah, because you know that their life will not be the same without having consistent chiropractic care. And that's true of whatever chiropractic adjustment approach you do. They're better off when their nervous system is at its best through whatever protocol you're using, right? And now more than ever, what do you think? I have certain viewpoints of this and I want to ask your viewpoint. What do you think is going to be a shift? What shift can we see in consciousness relative to health through this and on the other side of this? What do you anticipate?
I think people will define health in a different way. We know that most people define health based on how they feel. not how they're functioning. And now we know that many, many people have the virus without a symptom. And if the virus is negative, then that's really not health, right? But their body has the ability to adapt to the virus. So I think they will define health differently, that it will be less symptom oriented, and it will be embraced more for an outcome that they will want, not just to feel better, but to be less vulnerable, to be more resistant, to be able to be exposed to something and not succumb to it. So I think it's an awakening time where people are going to, it's going to be like New Year's, you know, when everybody makes a resolution. This year I'm going to get healthy. This year I'm going to eat better. I'm going to do that. I think we're going to see that commitment and that desire permeate society past January 15th, right? Yeah. And we need to remind people, as we often do, about the ability to adapt and what they put into their body, as well as what, how their body is functioning, gives them better ability to adapt. So I think it's going to be, I think we're going to see our practice, and we're already seeing that. Most of my clients are seeing an up, you know, they had a drop, now they're up 2 weeks in a row. So I think, and new patients. Mm-hmm. Lots of new patients calling in. So I think we're going to see people looking for what we have, because what we have makes a difference.
Yes. And I think here's another thing that I think relative to that is that we're going to see, my prediction for what it's worth, my crystal ball, I think we're going to see a shift from reactive to proactive. Chiropractors as a whole have been seeing for years to go from reactive care to be more proactive about their health, and to shift to not even being proactive, but beyond that to taking care of themselves in a wellness ongoing model rather than proactive to be preventing things. But I think there's going to be a very significant shift of more people being like, I know I have to keep my body healthy so I'm more resilient. They're going to see stats of like, hey, what are the people that thrive through this and did well or were able to recover easily, and realize that their state has to be at a higher state to adapt. I think there's going to be a shift in that. Maybe not the whole world population, but a significant amount that will, you know, be the people that will come to your office.
Yeah, that whole discussion, it's very common, the prevention, the protection. Like I used to early on in practice, I would say, oh, you know, but if you're going to have a baby, you know, or we adjust from womb to the tomb. Now I say, if you're going to have a baby, it's a good idea if the couple considers really having regular chiropractic care to be the best quality that they could produce a child from. So preconception to the tomb versus right. From the womb to the tomb. So it's our conversations, but I think our conversations will now be listened to and valued in a way that they've never been before. And I think some of our brothers and sisters who might have been hesitant to speak outside of the mechanistic model might now also see that value and want to increase and upgrade their skills to be able to communicate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the time to do that. And that's part of why we put on Mile High, is to have a central place where you can have a moment, a weekend, that you can get immersed and grow. And we're very careful about who speaks and what they share on stage, so that there are people that are going to be congruent with the adjustment, subluxation, innate intelligence message. That's the core of what we do as practitioners, so people can grow in that, because we all know that there's a little bit of a lack of that in the educational process. So I'm so grateful that you're part of Mile High this year. I'm thrilled. Now, being that you past practiced in Colorado for many years, I think this will be fun. Can you share anything about practicing in Colorado back in the day?
Well, as you know, I did the Chiropractic Warriors Philosophy Group that you would come to, and many of your people who are on your board and involved. So, you know, I just, chiropractic, that's where I started, and that's where I got clear about what it was and why I wanted to do it. That's where I started creating groups of people to speak philosophy, to own philosophy. So I'm just so honored and excited to come in to share my passion and the ability to be the best chiropractor possible by owning chiropractic.
Right? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And your ways to do that are the philosophy. You've got to own that as a foundation. Without that, you're very much missing something. Ultimately, it's not about what you're missing. It's about what your practice members miss in terms of care that they don't necessarily receive. So growing in that area is a help for you to grow your practice members. And so with currently, again, the current world situation, the global circumstance, what other words of wisdom do you have for chiropractors right now? I know you mentor lots of chiropractors. What kind of things are you telling them right now?
Well, I'm telling them just like this is the most important time for you to be clear, most important time for you to be centered, and most important time for you to communicate with the people who are in and the people who are out and the, you know, out in that aren't coming in, for the community and your other power partners, right? The other healthcare providers. So to really build relationships right now. One of my clients in Hawaii on Monday, she said a man came into her office because his other chiropractor was closed down. Didn't have to, but chose to. And of course she educated him on what the philosophy, what chiropractic innate, universal, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I cannot believe I didn't know this. I wasn't told this. I never felt like, you hear that 1,000 times. But I'm going to say to you is that people are going to want this more than ever. So in answer to your question, it's really, I think, no different than it was before this started. Keep studying, keep upgrading, keep up-leveling who you are, what you do, and how you do it. Because your people out there need us more than ever, and they've always needed us more than ever. So it's a time of opportunity, and there are times of challenges. I'm not going to say that everything's perfect, right? We grow from challenge, and when we're in the middle of challenge, if we're opportunity focused, loving focused, service focused, leadership focused, you can't do anything but thrive. And it might not be statistically right now, but it will be in terms of executing your vision and your impact.
Yes, and I'll tell you one other thing. I feel like people are going to be more discerning about their healthcare choices. They're going to be more discerning about it all around, not just chiropractic. They'll be more discerning about what acupuncturist they go to or whatever. But relative to the chiropractor, they're going to discern people that are doing quality care, that are doing assessments and reassessments, and, you know, really infuse them with the values of chiropractic and make this something that they would never want to do without, and communicate that and why. They're going to be more discerning about that as compared to an office that, you know, maybe needs to be updated from the 1980s or 90s, right? in many ways, in terms of things. So they're going to be, you know, it's an opportunity for you to raise the bar in everything that you do.
And I think that the other thing is that people are tired of hearing all of this misinformation, you know, or the conflicting information. So their desire to be able to discern and analyze something is going to be greater. So they're not going to want to come to somebody who just tells them what to do, but helps them understand why they would choose to do that. Right?
Absolutely.
And that's part of our process.
Absolutely. I agree. And so thank you so much for being part of this podcast. Thank you for being part of Mile High this year in August. I am so psyched to see you on higher ground. And how can people connect with you if they'd like to connect with you more?
Well, listen, I always like to give you something. So if you go to Power Up Gifts, GIFTS.com, powerupgifts.com. I have a series of masterclasses. I'm on Facebook every Tuesday. I'm doing a special masterclass next week. My website's drshawnpowers.com. And, you know, anything I can do to help or to serve, I'm here for you guys.
And that's one of the things that I love about you is having a servant's heart. So I so appreciate that. Thank you so much for being part of Mile High. Thank you for listening. If you have not hit subscribe, Make sure you hit subscribe, whether you watch this on YouTube or iTunes or whatever it is, and follow us on Facebook as well. And grab your seats for Mile High 2020, August 20th to 23rd. I have to say, flights are cheaper than ever. You want to grab your seats now. Grab your for your flights now. It's the time to save. So www.milehigh2020.com. You can get all the info there. And again, Dr. Sean Powers, thank you for uplifting chiropractors, chiropractic, and chiropractic teams everywhere.
And thank you, Danny, for your service to the profession. I know you work tirelessly and effortlessly. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your work.
Thank you. And we will see you all in August.